SpaceX has launched two experimental satellites to see if building an inner-orbit Wi-Fi system is doable. They just need 11,998 more of those satellites. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton checks in with tech companies and their plans to bring broadband internet to the far reaches of the globe. We also look at a massive macroeconomic survey from JP Morgan Chase. Those topics start now.
Hello, and thanks for listening. We're going to bifurcate this segment, only somewhat because I got a word of the day calendar for Christmas last year. First, we're going to unpack some new data about the mood of business owners from JP Morgan Chase. Then I'm going to pull together an update on the idea of bringing broadband internet to the entire world via satellite. First, Wall Street and Main Street. A senior economist at JP Morgan Chase is coming up to discuss a massive new survey the bank has done to take the temperature of small and medium businesses. And that starts now.
Jim Glassman, and I'm senior economist for JP Morgan Chase and Company.
I want to unpack this new report from JP Morgan Chase about the economy. It's kind of a macro take on things. What were some of your main highlights from the data?
Well, we're seeing optimism in small and mid-sized businesses that we haven't seen in a long time. That's real key because this is a community that tends to not see things happening in the early days of recovery. And the fact that everybody's feeling it and is optimistic tells you that the recovery is broad-based. And the most important thing, I think, for most people, when businesses are optimistic and they're telling you that the biggest challenge is finding workers and retaining workers, that means good things are going to be coming for workers.
That means that maybe wages will start to see a bit of up pressure as it comes along with inflation, right?
Yeah, that's right. And we're seeing that already. And the fact is the corporate tax cuts are helping companies share the benefits. So we're seeing companies are more focused right now on trying to retain people and find people.
Another area we often see optimism is in capital expenditures. Was there any data around that for small and medium-sized businesses?
Medium-sized businesses are much more optimistic about that. They tell you that's what they're going to be doing more of. Their businesses are a little more complex, bigger businesses. And so you tend to see the intentions on capital spending are more positive for mid-sized businesses than for small businesses. But that's just the nature of the complexity of the businesses.
Okay. Let's talk real quick about Main Street versus Wall Street. Is the stock market a good indication of what you found in the data around businesses?
I think so. You know, the stock market reflects what's going on in the broad economy. The fact is, although Wall Street sounds like it's a market that's being driven by New Yorkers, everybody in America, everybody in the world participates in the stock market. So you're seeing trends that are reflecting optimism from all around the world, all around the country. You know, the market's been rising steadily. It's been rising because businesses are doing better, earnings are doing better. And the fact is, as we see, look at labor market trends, unemployment's down, employment is up. Just a lot of good things going on, and the equity market is just validating all the things that we see going on in the economy. It doesn't tell us where we're going to go in the future. Nobody knows the future, but it tells you where we are now is very solid.
Hey, Jim, can you contextualize what you found in this study and just maybe in an even broader stroke when it comes to the American economy with the world economy right now and the temperature of that? Because, you know, obviously, if there's no demand overseas, it's going to be hard for American multinationals to really push their products. How are we fitting in globally?
You know, we've been on the leading edge of this recovery, but what's really interesting in the last 6 months or so, we're starting to see the lights come on in Europe and in Japan. And part of the reason is because those guys finally went on the offensive several years ago. It's important to us because if our partners around the world are doing better, we're going to be doing better. And we see it showing up in our export trends. And the big story here is if the developed economies are out of the recession, back on board, that allows these developing economies that are in Asia in particular to continue on this track of rising living standards. And we benefit from that. The better they do, the more we benefit. So the more we can help them get on their feet, the more we help ourselves.
Yeah, you're right, Jim. We were the first with the stimulus packages and the stimulus programs,
right?
The punch bowl, right? We put the punch bowl out first.
Right.
We're also the first one taking the punch bowl back. And to that point, while you and I record this, Jay Powell is about to testify on Capitol Hill. He's the new Fed chair. Does a new broom sweep clean when it comes to fiscal policy?
You know, I think what we're going to find is a continuation of the policies that we've been seeing at the Fed. The Fed has a longstanding goal, as do other central banks, of managing the economy to the idea of getting inflation back to 2%. So it doesn't really matter who's running the central banks. If their goal, their long-term goal, is keep the economy close to full employment, manage inflation to 2%, it means we're going to have pretty stable transition. And I think watching the Fed pull back is an encouraging sign because it tells you we no longer need those stimulative actions the Fed took during the recession. And all the Fed's doing is taking their foot off the gas. They're not stepping on the brake. They're just removing stimulus that they don't think is necessary anymore.
So if we have those rate hikes, we basically put some dry powder back in the Fed's arsenal, right?
Yeah, and I think the thing to remember is the rate hikes are not tightening. The rate hikes represent removing stimulus that we no longer need. So higher interest rates, of course, but that doesn't mean that's going to kill the economy. The reason the Fed is pulling interest rates back to something more normal is because the economy is doing pretty well on its own, and our survey is validating that.
Yeah, one last question about the survey. Was there any like quirky find or data point that maybe stood out for you when you were scanning the results?
No, the interesting thing is for several years we've been seeing some stress in the middle part of the country related to the energy sector, what was going on. Right now it feels like everybody's kind of seeing the same kind of thing, and the challenges everybody faces are very similar. Hard time finding workers, trying to retain workers. And so, you know, it's a common theme all across the country, which tells you it's quite synchronized what we're seeing play out in the U.S. economy.
Jim Glassman, senior economist for J.P. Morgan Chase, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
That was Jim Glassman. He is a senior economist for J.P. Morgan Chase, and he has decades of experience in interpreting economic data like these and relating it to a changing economy. For links to his report and all of our sourcing, please go to KGORadio.com. We are also at Facebook.com/TechonomicsRadio, and I tweet at KGO Jason. Now we turn to the stars. Okay, at least low Earth orbit, to check on SpaceX's lofty goal of providing high-speed internet everywhere. SpaceX launched two experimental satellites on February the 22nd that are designed to help lay the foundation for Starlink. The satellites, called 1010A and 1010B, are operational and beaming data back to SpaceX right now. Over the next 5 years, SpaceX is planning a grid over the Earth of 4,425 main satellites, boosted by a supplementary network of about 7,500 low-orbit satellites. Collectively, they will deliver gigabit internet. The implications of such a broadband array are kind of fantastic. Almost 40% of Americans living outside of urban centers do not have access to broadband. And remember, Americans also pay much more than other nations for crappier internet speeds, too. That's another market opportunity and proof of the business benefits. Beating the U.S. to the punch here, OneWeb, Space Norway, and Telesat are already approved by the FCC for low-orbit broadband, and Boeing intends to get in the business of broadband as well. The Wall Street Journal guesses that SpaceX can bring in about $30 billion in revenue by 2025 with Starlink. Before SpaceX launched the 1010 Twins, they got a full-throated endorsement from none other than the chairman of the FCC himself, Ajit Pai. If only Mr. Pai would think so progressively about maintaining a free and open internet. Hashtag net neutrality. And that's going to do it for this week's show. Thank you for listening, and we hope you like the stories we did tell. Our music selections get posted at Facebook.com/TechonomicsRadio. I tweet at KGO Jason, and our sourcing is in a story that lives online at KGORadio.com. For producer Liana Wilcox and executive producer Mike Anthony, I am the host and the writer, Jason Middleton. Thanks again, and have great weeks, everybody.